Listen up, it's time for Talk Can Audio, hosted by Matt Robinson. We're about to go. Craft beer and sports, that's all we know. Raise a glass, let the good times flow. Grab a tall can, crack it open with pride. Loud voices, heavy beats, we're taking it in stride. From the ring to the field, we cover it all. Tune in now, prepare for the brawl. Tall can warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stir up this town. We're the champions of craft beer and sport. Tall can audio, we hold down the fort.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome inside an all-new edition of the Tall Can Audio Podcast. It's been a minute. It's been a few days since we've done one of these. We'll explain that as we go here a little bit. But helping us walk back into what, if for some people, I guess, is a short week. Some people get the holiday Monday at Easter. Some don't. But regardless, it is our man Steve Bunda sitting in today. What's happening, buddy?
Oh,
I know,
Maddie,
it wasn't a short
good
week for you.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't. I was lucky to have a couple days off. Well, Friday off over the weekend, so I did get the long weekend. I'll be happy about that, but I didn't get the Monday off, and I'll never take a vacation when you ask me to come on the show. Maddie, how you doing? How was your Easter?
You know what? Easter was pretty good. I've been traveling a lot, but basically just the same path over and over again. As of 2 weeks ago, Thursday, March 21st, was my dad's birthday. And so I wanted to go down and surprise him, took the train down and then went up and met him from there. And so I stayed through till, I guess, Thursday to Tuesday. So did a remote show there last weekend and then came back here, had a couple things to do. And then we did, if people have missed it, I'd highly recommend you go back, check out episode 1284. We surprised Lever Sage in studio with having Scotty MacArthur here.
Now, Lever Sage works out because he always would stand on a step. It all works out. Lever Sage.
I like that. That works, yeah. So we did that. And then honestly, late Thursday afternoon, turned right back around and headed back down to the family cottage ahead of Good Friday for Easter. And I'd been back and forth whether to go back or not, but it's the kids, right? It's getting to see my niece and nephews and like see them do the Easter thing and spend some time with them, which I hadn't got to do a whole lot of when I was down for dad's birthday. So that's the pull, right? Is you go back down for that. But yeah, it's been back and forth. That's meant it's been a little quiet around the show because I've been back and forth so often. I can let the good listener know though that those days are over. We got a busy week coming up here on top of everything else we normally do. On Wednesday morning, Rob will be in here. He obviously, because of Easter and me being away, wasn't here for the usual Monday morning. So he's going to step in here for Wednesday morning. We'll get that done later on in the week. Dan Schulman, the voice of your Toronto Blue Jays, will be back on the podcast. First time we'll talk to him this baseball season. That'll be fun. And Sportsnet's Kevin Mickey will be here. Bunda, I don't know how closely you're following this, but Kevin Mickey is Sportsnet's wrestling guru, and it is WrestleMania week, Steve Bunda.
Yes, I was on the horn calling the host of my podcast, This is Wrestling, Zach McGibbon, at 6:15 this morning to let him know that it is WrestleMania Monday. Why aren't you answering the phone? I had questions for him. Big WrestleMania pool for This is Wrestling that they'll be putting together. So, as always, I'm just, you know, trying to be the immortal executive producer for life for my podcast. And Zach always causing headaches as usual, but I left them a nice voicemail because everybody loves when you leave them voicemails these days. So was able to do that. But it is WrestleMania week. It's a big week for a lot of people.
It is, man. And so Kevin Mickey will be here later this week. He'll help us go over everything WrestleMania related. So that'll be fun as well. Bunda, I know you're headed out a little later on to meet up with a friend and have a pint or two. Are you starting with us here today? Are you having a pint while we chat here today?
Matt, if I ever told you I was going to wait and not have a beer during your podcast, never ever ask me to be on again. That's banishment. Yes, I've got one. And this actually, you know what? It might not be what you expect it to be. It's not much of a Steve Bunda kind of beer.
Okay.
But I'm going to give this a whirl. I had this given to me from a friend. It is a Supersonic Puppy Dreams hard seltzer Flying Monkeys. It's a pineapple, mango, orange, creamsicle, sparkling alcoholic malt beverage.
Wow.
But done by Flying Monkeys, right? They put together a good couple IPAs.
Yep.
It is 5% alcohol. and it is one U.S. pint, Matt. I'll let you know that.
Okay. And they make that that like triple dry hopped Galaxy Starfighter Defender of the Universe, whatever. That's like 9% or whatever it is.
Yeah, 10% triple IPAs. Yeah. They have a good couple. They have a juicy ass IPA. Like they've got a good couple of good IPAs, and I've never seen this before, but friend, like I said, pass this along to me, and I have not tried it. I'm curious. I'm not much of a seltzer person, but when it had pineapple, mango, orange, creamsicle, first I thought Lever Sage would probably love this. Shout out Lee, also the other co-host on my podcast, This Is Wrestling.
But
I thought, okay, you know what, I'll give this, but this sounds like a really good daytime drink. So when you you know, we're kind of, you know, peel the curtains back a bit, doing a bit of an afternoon pod today, but I'm going to give it a crack and see how it goes. What do you have ready to go for the show, Matt?
Well, just quickly before I go with mine there, I'm curious, with a seltzer there, what is the percentage on that? They're normally just a little bit lower, aren't they?
It is a 5%.
Okay, so right there. Yeah.
So that's where I'm not super rat. It's very weird. Yeah.
A lot happening on that.
A lot of flavor, and I'm not much of a seltzer person, but there's some flavor here. Just say I'll probably need a second beer.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit
for the pod.
Yeah. Okay.
But honestly, not bad though. It's got a lot of flavor. It's tasty enough for the first pull for me to think that I can finish this.
Yeah.
Because I'll never, one, leave a soldier behind.
Right.
But two, I just want to get rid of it maybe. But as of right now, two pulls in.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Okay. So I'm going with one, and Bunda, I'm sure you've had these days. I'm sure our listeners have had these days where, you know what, like, I'm coming back from a long weekend. There were some late nights. There were some beverages had. You're kind of tired. You know you should probably pump the brakes here a little bit. But, yeah, I'm not going to do a show and not have a pint on it. But it is going to be probably just the one beer today. So you're like, this has to be good, right? Like, I need this to be a good beer. And so you've been into the TCA fridge a few times before. And there's normally a pretty good selection. There's lots to experiment with. There's things to try. And I wanted no part of that today. I was like, I don't want to experiment. I don't want
to. No part of the fridge.
Well, I wanted part of the fridge, but I didn't want a part of the experiment, right? I didn't want to guess. Okay. I didn't want to. It was like, if you crack this, if this is going to be your one beer of the day and it turns out you don't care for it, it's going to turn what is, I'll admit to the listener, already been, you know, not a terrible day, but not a great day. This could be the thing that pushes you over the edge. So I wanted something I've had before. I know I like it. I know it's a favorite. And as I'm going through the fridge, I open it up, and one of the very first things I lay eyes on is that Lake of Bays Sparkhouse Red. And so I'm not going to beat the listener over the head with it. Most of you have heard me talk about this beer before. One of my first craft beers, one of my favorite craft beers. Our friend Angela Thompson, when she comes by, always brings me a couple more. So there's not much more to be said about it than that, because I've talked about it lots on this show. But Bunda, I'm sure you've had those days where you're just like, you know what? I just want a beer right now. I don't want it. And you and I are both craft beer guys, like to experiment with this stuff, like to try new things. Today was not the day for that. Today was, hit me with one that I know I'm going to like, and I don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah, and I feel like you said, you started off by just saying you had a couple days where you know you were drinking and you have that one. You just need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's good that you're having at least a beer and not a seltzer like myself. I already feel embarrassed a little bit.
I've had some seltzers on the show before. It's fine. It's venturing out into the world. It's trying some things.
If it wasn't by Flying Monkeys, I'd probably say no. But you know what? Shout out Flying Monkeys. You guys do some good beers.
Yep.
Seltzer, not bad. Just not totally my style. Lots of flavor. But, you know, I think that the bottom line here, Maddie, is, you know, I love you, man. If you want to talk about anything, get anything off your chest. You want to air some grievances. You said it's been a while. It's been a wild day. You know, I got your back here. Like, you know what? The floor is yours. If you need to vent, get some stuff off your chest, I will listen. This will be therapy for the listeners or just me. It's all good. I got your back here, man.
You know what? I appreciate that. And I don't want to over-exaggerate things. It's a four-hour drive from the family cottage to Ottawa. And so, like I said, did it on the train on last Thursday, came back, two Thursdays ago, came back on the Tuesday, went back down to the cottage on Thursday, and then back here to Ottawa on Monday afternoon. And I wasn't even the one doing the driving today, but it's one of those days where you get on Highway 7, it's the end of a long weekend, and you know, before we even got to Peterborough, there'd already been two detours. Now, they didn't send you way out of the way, but you're just like, man, like, what is going on here? And then you get on 7, and there's always, on a day like this, one asshole at the front of the line who's not going anywhere close to fast enough, and the lineup behind him is so long that you couldn't even dream of passing if you wanted to, right? Like, there's so many people stuck behind him. And that was just it. That's your whole day. It's just going and going and going. And then we get to Carlton Place, and there's like a brush fire. Like, the traffic is stopped because the fire department is working not too far off the road. And so they're parked there, and they're having to slow everybody down. And I'm like I said, I'm not the one driving. So I'm kind of searching around online, like, what is this? Like, what's going on? And all I could find was that someone had called in, like a grass fire, a brush fire right there just outside Carlton Place. And so it was backed up there for quite a while. And by the time it was all said and done, you know, what is normally roughly a 4-hour trip, just shy of 4 hours, today was a little over 5. And you and I had planned to do this. Yeah. And you and I had planned to do this. So I'm already feeling the pinch a little bit. And but you'd been cool about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. We can push her back 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was going to be. And I walk in the studio, and normally I just fire up the computer here and get things going. Well, isn't there some sort of error that has to be uninstall the recording software, reinstall the recording software, restart, all that stuff, the updates that run. And I've only been gone like 4 days. I don't know what happened. It's not like you're trying
to... Feels like a lifetime.
Yeah, it feels like you're trying to fire up like a Windows 97 computer of some kind. And so it was just... Like I said, nothing terrible happened. It's not, nobody's tragically ill. There hasn't been like a death in the family. There's no giant drama. You're just sort of like, all of it because you're tired from the long weekend, and it just, you're just sort of like, right? Like one of those days, just, I don't need one more thing to go wrong. Hence, I'm going to have the safe beer instead of the experimental beer. That's how we arrived here today. But so that's all it is. It's not a terrible day, anything like that. And like I said, I wasn't even the one doing the driving. I'm in the vehicle, but I'm, you know, you're just kind of like, I'm ready for a pint, and then I'm ready to probably shut the world off for a day or so, keep to myself a little bit. It's Monday as you and I sit and talk. The Leafs play tonight. The Jays play tonight. And the final Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania. So it'll be a quiet night on the couch where the world will probably not hear much from Matt Robinson.
Matt needs a little bit of a nap, get up.
That's happening.
Get grumpy again once
that's
you watch the Leafs game.
Yeah, that's
and then
probably
flip
happening.
Over to the Jays.
Yeah.
And, probably flipping the TV off after you throw the remote at the ground or maybe outside your balcony and into the crowd of Tall Can Audio fans
Knocks,
waiting outside the door.
There's a lawsuit waiting to happen. That's just what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like, but no, I feel like, you know what? It's one of those rough days, but don't worry, Matty. Like I said, I got you here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know what? Anytime at the cottage is always Steve Bunda approved. I'm happy you got some time up there anyways. And you know what? Like you said, it's just one of those things where you had maybe a couple too many days, too many beers, maybe not enough water. You know what? There's no such thing.
That's
it's all
sure
good.
Thing. That's,
you know
that's,
what?
That's a part of it. Yeah.
But no, we're all good, baby. I'm glad, I'm glad we're able to do this.
Yeah. And the weekend itself, like I said, was awesome. Got to go down, saw game one and game two of the Generals Barry Colts game because the cottage isn't too far from there, or playoff series. Got to watch my niece and nephew enjoying the Easter festivities. Like, the whole thing was good. It was all worth it. You just come home a little tired and a little cranky, and that's all, right? So,
When someone's driving real slow, that's a good way to get a lot of people ticked off on a holiday Monday because, some people were on holiday, some people weren't. As myself, I had to work this morning.
Yep.
It was weird. There's not a lot of people, driving around, but like businesses are open. Everything seems to be working good. So I think it's one of those government holidays again.
Governments
Maddie,
and schools. I think that was about it, right? So what'd you do for Easter? You said you were up to the cottage too. You have yourself a little family time up there. What was going on? More of a piss up. What was going on?
Oh, and no matter what, it's a bit of column A and a bit of column B.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be honest on that one, but I was able to get up to the cottage. I had a good Friday off and Saturday off, so it was one of those. Went up the other night and spent a couple nights up there with my cousins and did a little bit of work, lots of drinking, lots of hanging out, lots of having fun. It's always good, and I was able to come home on Sunday, and there was Easter dinner at my mom's place on Sunday, and it was a big week for my mom and her house. She finally got occupancy on her house. Everything is kind of in the right area. She's her house is basically in a spot where now it's just, you know, small things that need to get done here and there over the next couple of months, landscaping, inside stuff, just small little things. But the majority of it now is all passed, and she got her occupancy this week. So spent all day Sunday with my uncle and my cousins kind of moving some furniture and everything into her house. And now she's got a furnished house, and we were able to have Easter dinner with her there yesterday. So, you know, it's been a long, almost 2 years that she's had to deal without having her house after a fire. And it's been a mess of a time, but it felt pretty good to have a dinner on Sunday with, like I said, my family there, my cousins and my sister. And it was pretty good. So that's what I got up to, Maddie. It was, like I said, solid couple days.
That's awesome, man. What is, you know, like you said, it's been a bit of a bit of an adventure, I guess we could call it, trying to get, it was in the news there a little bit, how she was getting screwed around. She was one of a lot of people that one company had kind of screwed over. I'm curious, though, now that you're back in the house and everybody's able to gather there, what is Easter dinner like for the Bunda family? Because we were kind of kicking this around with the people I was talking to over the weekend. It doesn't feel like, now, to me, it's always an okay time for this, but it doesn't feel like Easter is a turkey dinner. If you wanted to make me a turkey dinner on Easter, I would have it because I'm always down for turkey, but it doesn't necessarily feel like it's one of those days. Some people I spoke to said, well, you know, kind of a ham, maybe it's a ham holiday you'd have with your family. I'm not sure that this would be a traditional Easter dinner, but my mom had found this really giant piece of gorgeous roast beef that we did as Easter dinner, put it out on the barbecue, came out really nice. So I don't know, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, those scream turkey dinners or things like that. What did you guys, do you guys have something specific? Do you have Easter traditions, or was this just more of a, we're just happy to be back in here and we'll throw some burgers on the barbecue for all we care at this point?
No. I mean, my mom always does a very good job, whether it be the Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, she always puts together quite a meal, and she has a lot of traditions, but she kind of changes them. But she does, she likes to have fun with, myself. I have a younger cousin, my sisters. She plays like a little game. We'll go over for some appetizers, like some dips and some chips, but she'll put together like a cup game where you go up and you, pick a cup, and upside down, there's going to be a big kind of like a red Solo cup. And inside it, there's, a little bit like there was Easter chocolate, scratch tickets. There was candy, money. So just whatever it is. So you kind of play that game and we have some fun. And then, we usually sit down, we have dinner, and she whipped up a turkey. And then my sister had smoked ham. We had that stuffing as always, no matter what. The best part of the meal is always stuffing. I love turkey.
Said you've got me here, right? You said this is a bit of a therapy session. You said this is a safe place.
Oh yeah, always.
I don't like stuffing.
Oh man, I don't know. But I'm not back. I said I loved you. Now we might just be acquaintances.
You said,
man,
this was a safe stuffing place. You said we could talk.
We can talk, but we might have to talk this one out. Stuffing? Come on, man.
Nah, it doesn't do it for me at all.
So, not at all. So, nope. Like, you're going by, you got a Thanksgiving dinner, here comes the, mashed potatoes, the turkey.
Taking
you're
both of those, yeah.
Cranberry sauce, maybe a piece of ham.
You know what's the weird one that I look forward to and I love at Christmas, I love at Thanksgiving, that a lot of people will take the pass on? Turnip. Love me some turnip, right?
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So, if I'm ever invited out to Bonnie's place for Easter, or you're ever down in the neighborhood of the cottage there at like Thanksgiving, you can have my stuffing, but I got to get your share of the turnip.
Little Brussels sprouts.
It's fine. Don't love it, don't hate it. You throw it on to be polite and carry on, right?
I've never been a fan, even though I've had about 10 people tell me, just try them this way, you'll like them. Not a fan, but she had some Brussels sprouts yesterday, so no turnips, but she had a pretty good meal. She always does a pretty good meal for, like I said, my cousins, my uncle, my sisters. We always have a great meal, but it's always a great, you know, whether it be Christmas, like I said, Thanksgiving or Easter, she puts together usually a turkey or, you know, something like that, but she enjoys and she makes a mean turkey. So nice. It was quite the day at Bonnie's house and her new house. Like I said, it was fun. It was good. The game, you know, I got a couple of scratch tickets, only $8 on like 4 or 5 scratch tickets. I'm a little rattled with that. And my little cousin, she always gets all the red solos with the big bills in it. Sure, I got away with a couple, but you know, I'm never grouchy. I still came away with some chocolate and some candy, and you know, it was a good little fun Easter for her. But the turkey is a pretty good staple. I like it. I don't mind mixing it up. I'm very good with people do prime rib. People, you know, will do, you know, even KFC or Chinese on these, just to, you know, not cook for something like that.
But
you know, credit to my mom. She's always in there and she loves making a nice big turkey or, you know, a holiday meal. So whether she mixes it up or, you know, she usually goes with turkey, but you know, she does a great job no matter what. I always love it.
Yeah. See, my parents do a great job with big meals like that too on these occasions. The one life hack that we've stumbled across here over the last couple of years, at our family Christmases is that we now do our dinner, like our big Christmas dinner, the turkey dinner on Boxing Day, because otherwise, you know, mom's up in the kitchen all day, like sometimes mid late morning, right? You're trying to get the bird ready depending on how many people are coming and how big it's going to be. And so you miss out on seeing the kids open some of their presents or play with stuff for the first time or just being able to hang out and enjoy the day together because they're busy doing the meal. And so we all still love the meal. Like if we had taken a family vote, like, yeah, we're still going to have it, right? Like, but push it back a day. Everyone can enjoy Christmas now. You can spend Christmas Day together, and we'll have the big blowout, you know, as far as the meal goes on Boxing Day. And so that's worked out pretty well. And a minor adjustment, right? You still get to have the meal, but now you kind of get the best of both worlds, and it doesn't keep them distracted all day, and they're able to enjoy it a little bit more with the grandkids and stuff. So that's the one thing that we've sort of started doing over the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, whatever it would have been, is just push it back a day, the meal. And then on Christmas Day, you know, you've probably got a couple things in your stocking that you were snacking on anyway. You make a couple appetizers throughout the afternoon, you know, maybe throw a frozen pizza or something in for dinner. And yeah, you get to the turkey the next day.
Yeah. And no matter what, though, you just, here comes the bowl of stuffing. Matt just says, please, on to the next person.
Yep. Yep, Matt's going to fumble that and pass it right off to the next guy.
Hey, listen, as long as you don't fumble the stuffing under the ground, that's fine. But, man, it's such an underrated part. It's just like, you know, it was the leftovers. Like, I won't lie, after, you know, we were texting and we were kind of, all right, I'm going to be a little bit, okay, perfect. I made myself a nice plate of leftovers, and it's so good because you could just, you know, with some turkey, I had some turkey, some stuffing, some mashed potatoes, and a couple pieces of ham, and I just, you know what, you warm it up a little bit, and then you grab a can of gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, warm, nice thing. Just dunked it all in gravy, and man, I've had not a bad call because it wasn't too much to make me tired, but I had a nice turkey meal right before I just jumped on here with you, and oh man, like I said, it's so good. But gravy, it could, you know, a little bit of gravy on the stuffing, Matt? No, not at all.
Not happening for me. I just,
okay.
I don't love it, man. I can't get into it for whatever reason. It's one of those things, but yeah. All about the turnip, I guess, on these holidays. One of the very few people in the world who says that, at least at our table. A lot of people are, you know, while I'm passing the stuffing, they're passing the turnip. So I think there's only like 3 or 4 of us at our extended family table who actually enjoy the turnip. I think a lot of people will still have a little, like you say, to be polite, you kind of take a little bit of everything or whatever, but in terms of people who are enjoying it, people who might even scoop out a second helping. Yeah, there's not many.
Second helping, if there's any left.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's the one thing, right? You just talked about leftovers. If there's leftover turnip, that comes home with me. No one else is lining up to scoop that out of the fridge. Uh-huh. So,
is there anything that you do like when it comes to cooking, like to help out, or do you have your own dish that you're responsible for, or own responsibility, anything like that during these meals where it's like, all right, Maddie, put the pie in or bake the pie or, you know, show up with the beer. Are you that guy? Do you have anything going on? Or are you just, you know what, I'm going to sit on the couch, throw on the TV, and if you need me for moral support, I'll say, can you pass me a beer?
Big moral support guy. The best thing I can do is stay out of the way. I am useless in the kitchen. If I'm contributing anything, you know, maybe it's I found a couple of craft beers that the old man and I'll try while he's helping out with with the, like, actually helping with dinner. A couple years ago, stumbled across the Nanaimo Bar whiskey cream. Like, maybe I can contribute something like that to the festivities while the meal is being prepared. But in terms of actually being helpful, short of like helping carry in the giant bag of potatoes that are going to need to be peeled or the like 30-pound bird, I gotta be honest. I'm not helpful. Not helpful.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Maybe hey, I'll help you out with the turnip. You know, I'm the only one that likes it, so I'll help you out making it just to make it easier. Or, you know what? Maybe, like I said, you're the dessert guy, anything like that.
Useless, buddy. Useless in the kitchen. It's amazing that I have been alive for as long as I have, that I haven't starved to death. Although this sweet, curvy physique I'm rocking at the moment is well built upon ordering in pretty often. So, that's kind of how that plays out around our house anyway. But, look, we can talk a little hockey in a bit, but I mentioned earlier on, Dan Shulman's going to be on the podcast later this week. We'll talk some baseball with him. I'm curious, man, we're now, every MLB team is at least one series in, opening days behind us. I know you're a Red Sox guy. This isn't expected to be, you know, a really big year for them. We'll see what happens. The Jays get two of four from Tampa, so you'll take it. It's a split in a place that has been historically difficult for them. But everybody's up and going now. I'm curious, were you excited to see baseball back? Does the fact that the Red Sox aren't expected to be overly good this year, you know, dampen your enthusiasm? I know you're way at the cottage. Were you keeping an eye on MLB in their first weekend at all?
Yeah, I was, I was at the cottage for, opening day and for a couple days, but I was more just checking, excitement. I won't lie, with March Madness and, yeah, a lot going on right now, it's kind of like, it just kind of came up on me, and it was just right there. Like the MLB opening day, I felt like they kind of maybe did a terrible job of kind of maybe teeing up or whatever, but it just feels like there's been so much emphasis on March Madness, whether it be men's or women's side right now,
yeah,
that I was just not as like captivated or brought in, or, you know, it was kind of like, oh, it's, you know what, it's maybe it was the March start. I don't know what it is, but I feel that's like true, maybe, yeah, it just, you know, a little bit earlier than I was ready for. But it just, I wasn't as drawn into opening day. Maybe it is the fact, like you said, Red Sox aren't expected to do much, but I did check out the first scores for the first couple days. And it's nice to see the Canadian kid, Tyler O'Neill, getting, yeah, a couple of homers for the boys. And, you know, 2-2, it's very early. So nothing that I could say I haven't sat down and watched, you know, 2-3 innings of their games yet or anything like that. But, you know, checking the Jay scores and the Red Sox scores and, you know, seeing how things are going. But a little bit like that. But I was, I'll admit, I was a little underwhelmed, and just it kind of just snuck up on me. And I was kind of like, baseball starting. And I don't know, maybe it was the Ohtani gate, you know, everything that was going on last week with that kind of overshadowed a lot.
That was terrible
going on,
but, timing. Hey, the biggest star in the game in his new market on his new team. And it's opening week, and hey, by the way, he's now involved in a gambling, whatever you want to call it, scandal. Hardly great timing for baseball.
Yeah, weird. But I don't know about you, but that was just kind of like how I was feeling about it. Like, and I wasn't even someone that was super into March Madness or whatever, but with hockey going on and, you know, just trying to, you know, get down to the last few playoff races and, you know, just even I'm always following the NFL and NFL draft season 3 weeks away, Matty. I won't lie. I'm always excited for that. But I thought that I don't know what it was, but I feel like just the MLB maybe did a not a great job. Just maybe I was, you know, under a rock for the last few weeks on SportsCenter and, you know, on Twitter and all that, but I just felt like it kind of came out of nowhere, or maybe it's too early, or just I wasn't ready for it. I don't know. I was not as hyped up for the, you know, opening day of the MLB season this year. How about you?
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make, maybe about the fact that, like, it started in March before, but this was March 28th. It's not even like it was March 30th, And I know it's only 2 days, but the further back into March it gets, you're sort of like, it can sneak up on you a little. So I knew it was coming. I knew when opening day was. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, you know, over the head, or I've kind of combined a couple of analogies there or sayings there. That wasn't a really smooth sentence. But, you know, last year for the Jays wasn't a very fun season. The offseason was a little bit of a letdown. And then coming out of spring training, it was like, well, Romano and Swanson are going to start on the injured list. You don't know how healthy Gausman is. You know, what is this lineup going to look like? And so I wouldn't say I wasn't excited. Like, there is still a bit of a buzz for me around opening day. But the fact that it starts on a Thursday in March, you're kind of like, you know, maybe it didn't have the same buzz it normally did. Like, I knew it was coming, but it wasn't like it was all over my social feeds. It wasn't like it'd been blasted into your head like it has, you know, at other times when you're watching Sportsnet and things like that. So maybe a little bit of a lack of buzz. The Jays get off to a decent start, going 2-2. They win the first game 8-2, and that was after getting, you know, shut down in order for the first three innings. You're like, oh my God, we're going to have the same offensive issue. Now, that's three innings into game one of 162. It might have been a little early to be
deja vu, though, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's confirmation bias, right? This is what I saw all last year, so I guess it's what I'm going to see all this year. That did not turn out to be the case. They lose 8-2 game two. I can't remember the score in game three, but Kevin Gausman comes out in game four. They win that one. They put nine on the board. So offensively, decent start. By the time the good listener hears this, game one in Houston will be in the books. So we'll see how that's going to play out. But yeah, I don't know. It felt to me like similar to you. I guess I was maybe a little more plugged into it than you, but I agree with you in the sense that it felt like there was less of a buzz. I was still looking forward to it, but it didn't feel as electric as it has in other years. And so whether that was the way Sportsnet was promoting it or, like I said, the lack of enthusiasm coming out of last season, I'm not quite sure. The March start, yeah, would be part of it. But and maybe, again, it's partly just because I've been traveling back and forth and I was doing other things. You know, two out of the four Jays games this weekend happened at the same time as those OHL playoff games I was at. So, you know, now that I'm back home, will I sit down and maybe get a little more engaged? Probably. But I was surprised there wasn't maybe just a little bit more buzz around the Jays. Because they, for all the talk about the doom and gloom and what last season was, they were still a good team. Mm-hmm. They were still a playoff team. And I think there's still at least a reasonably good chance they'll be that again this year. So, yeah, I don't know. It just felt a little, yeah, underwhelming, maybe the response or the build-up or the promotion. The season is a long one. It's 6 months. They play every night. But, yeah, it sort of came in with a little less fanfare, a little less hype than I thought it would.
Yeah, and like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with the timing. Like it's been crazy. March Madness has been great on both sides, men and women's sides, the last few days and last few weeks. And it's something that I didn't even fill out brackets for. I was so busy and so swamped with stuff. I never filled out any brackets. It's something I usually do, at least, you know, to get myself
even
engaged.
I got brackets, yeah. Buddy, and I don't know shit. I'm in the She's Got Game women's NCAA March Madness pool. I'm in Matt Scooby's men's side pool. I don't know anything. Now, although I was in like second place a couple days ago in Matt Scooby's. So sometimes you just get butt ass lucky, right? It's,
yeah, yeah. And
butt
listen,
ass
Matt,
lucky. What does that mean?
I mean, you've had a good couple sentences here today. I won't get upset about it, but yeah, no, it's been a great tournament so far, and you know, a huge game tonight between LSU and Iowa and the women's side.
Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, the rematch.
Yeah, and it's something where there's some hate there involved, and it's great, but it's been like that for a few weeks, and there's some storylines on the women's side that have made things a lot more exciting so far. On the men's side, things have been pretty decent as well, but I think that I feel like I've heard so much more about March Madness the last few weeks,
yeah.
Which makes sense. It is one of the bigger things that, you know, is on TSN or ESPN in the States, whatever. It's huge right now for yeah. Everything in worldwide, but I'm glad to see that, you know, there's just been so much hype around both sides of it. But,
you can make the argument this year that the biggest star player in March Madness is Caitlin Clark, right? And she's overshadowing anyone on the men's side. Now, I understand when it's all said and done, we got however many years of history to allow things to catch up. But the women's ratings have been off the charts again this year.
Oh, yeah.
And if you ask the experts who follow this stuff, in terms of a one, you know, single player who's the biggest star in March Madness this year, it's probably Caitlin Clark over anyone on the men's side.
No, absolutely. And you look at, you know, the men's side, you know, NC State has been the big one to be excited about. But, you know, between Purdue and Connecticut, you know, these teams have been here for a while, right? UConn, especially, but even Alabama, number four, but the 11 seed NC State, that's something where it's like, okay, like yeah, it's been good, but I'm not really super worried about it. But the women's side has been so much more entertaining. Like,
yeah,
you know, seeing a lot of these games, but just following the Caitlin Clark, seeing people get excited about it, loving it online, watching the games, fans, like you said, there's just so much going on between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. You know, there's a little bit of beef, and it's like, it's so good and it's so exciting. That's tonight, right?
Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's tonight. So huge game tonight. But yeah, I feel like it just really kind of come on so strong the last few, like maybe 2 weeks or so since March Madness started. And it's kind of overshadowed baseball for me. And I think for Jays fans too, right? The biggest thing that's happened for them since last year was almost, you know, being on Ohtani watch, right?
Yeah,
when
yeah,
he was on that flight to Toronto. And then, oh, wait, no, he's Oops, not. Yeah. I still hated how all that went down when you have, you know, I think it was Heyman that reported that he was on his way to Toronto. John, then you have some
JP
other-
Morosi, yeah.
Yeah, Morosi, and then someone said, nope, he's at home and whatever, yeah, like 3 hours later after he was supposed to land and he wasn't on the plane. And it was like, it was, well, how did nobody check in?
Yeah,
yeah. How did nobody check out that this guy was in his house the whole time? And somehow this one person knew, and he didn't say anything until after he was supposed to land in Toronto. It was all just weird for me, but I know a lot of Jays fans that were like, all right, well, whatever. They were content with this year. But like you said, the Jays had an up and down time year last year, especially Vladdy J. Looks like he's lost a bit of weight. So I'm excited to kind of see how they do, baseball. I think it was Juan Soto had a crazy weekend for the Yankees, which I don't care about the Yankees. No. I hate them. But Juan Soto is a guy that I kind of love watching because he can just smash the ball. Yeah. And the Yankees just love doing that, spending money, adding guys, and then, you know, being terrible. That's what they do. I thought leading up to it, whatever it was, I wasn't at broad or drawn into the MLB start of the season. And like you said, or I brought up earlier, just how terrible it was of a timing for Ohtani to then be involved in this kind of gambling situation with his so-called, you know, his interpreter. What's going on here? And is he, you know, the fall guy? What's going on? He has this press conference, but, you know, he's got a new interpreter there that's like, okay, what's happening here? I really have no idea how to deal with this, but I do know that I'm pretty sure MLB is about to start. Is this guy going to be playing? Is his contract, what's going on now? Like,
will
I have no
distracted?
Idea.
Now, he ended up having a pretty good opening weekend himself, but I want to take it back because you brought it up, and it's a perfectly legitimate thing to be talking about right now, is March Madness. Outside of March Madness, do you follow NCAA basketball? Because I know it does have a following up here in Canada. I admit it's not me at all, and even through March Madness, I have a hard time really locking in, and it's no surprise to people who listen to this show, basketball, you know, if we're ranking my favorite sports, it's going to come in behind baseball and hockey and football. And, you know, it's a ways down there for me. And so, I'll follow the big games in the NBA and who's doing what. But to get all the way down to the college level, it's not something on my radar very much, even when March Madness happens. But I compare that to, like, the NFL, where I'm much more of a CFL guy. But I keep an eye on the NFL. I'm not one of those guys who has to sit down and watch it every Sunday. But when the playoffs happen, I lock in because that's the biggest thing. Everyone's talking about it, and I will watch from start to finish. Is that what you're like with the NCAA, or do you follow it all year, or are you like me with the NFL where you jump in at March Madness because, you know, we're sports fans and that's what everybody's talking about right now?
Yeah, I'm March Madness. It depends. I'm more of a college sports. I'm a Notre Dame guy. I've always been a Notre Dame fan. So I'll usually check in on them. And, you know, they're a solid team, both, in the men's women's side. More on the women's side, they've usually been pretty good. They were 2 seed heading into this year. But when it comes to March Madness, I very much, that's when I really get into it. I'll watch games periodically. If there's nothing on, I'll throw on daytime games and, you know, weekend stuff.
Sure.
Just what, you know, college sports is so good for Saturday or Sunday, you know, just having something going on or random nights. So I do love that. But I like, even heading into March Madness, like I said, I didn't even fill out a bracket. I was kind of swamped. I do like following it, and I kind of keep an eye on a lot of things, but it's something that I can't say I'm going to be following every single night. And excuse me. Super into it's something I'm not super into all throughout the season, though. It is very tough for me to say that, but something I enjoy, and like I said, I'm very intrigued by storylines and, you know, what grabs you. And like I said, I've been grabbed by that a lot more than the MLB right now, but I can't say it's something that I'm super super into at all times.
Right. Well, I should mention to the good listener, because they're probably waiting a little bit for this, and so I'll tee it up, that this weekend, of course, being WrestleMania weekend, next weekend It's UFC 300 weekend. And rather than hit that today, while we're not in studio and, you know, we're not having pints in the same place or whatever, we will save the UFC 300 talk for next week. We will get Bunda in studio. We'll tee that up properly. So look for that next week. But I want to move you along for now to hockey. And just, you know, we're coming down the stretch here. There's only 2 weeks left in the regular season. What appeared to be a couple of weeks ago, a dead playoff race in the East. Like, no one was going to get in. The teams that were in. It was going to be Tampa and Detroit in those two wild card spots. Philly looked home and cooled, even as a kind of a mediocre team in third place over in the Metro Division with Carolina and the Rangers. Up in it was Toronto, Boston, and Florida in the three spots in the Atlantic. And all of a sudden, with a couple teams hitting the skids at the wrong time and a couple other teams getting, well, hot might be overstating it, but good enough to get in. All of a sudden, as you and I sit here on Monday afternoon, the Flyers are down into that second wild card spot. The Capitals are up into third in the division. Islanders still kicking around. I would say it looks like you know, Buffalo has fallen away. They made a push, like they tried to get back into it. Detroit's still kicking around. I don't know what you think of New Jersey. But all of a sudden, what a few weeks ago looked like a dead playoff race, like these are just the teams that are going to get in and we'll see in what order, is all of a sudden a little bit more interesting. Outside of Toronto and Ottawa, who we can talk about here in a couple minutes, are you surprised by any of these teams, or are you surprised that there's a bit of a race? Who's sort of caught your attention here recently?
Well, I'm going to start by saying, I think it was a few weeks ago whenever I was in the studio last, we were talking about how frustrated we were to kind of open up, you know, the standings, check out how things are going. And it's, oh, well, it looks like the Leafs are almost guaranteed but to play the Boston Bruins once again in the playoffs. Yeah. And as I, you know, look at things today, well, they're scheduled to play. Oh, the Florida Panthers. Yeah. Thank you, Tampa. You want to jump in and take on the Bruins for once. That does a lot of fun. But is one thing where, like I said, and you brought up there, it's I'm excited to kind of see the last little bit of a race. I'm always here for it, but it's tough. Like, I do believe the wild card spots are going to be grabbed. What, the Lightning for sure. Yeah. I have a hard time believing that the Red Wings will overstep on the Flyers, but they do have the game in hand right now. So yeah. I think that the Red Wings are dark horse to sneak in there and push the Flyers out. I'm not buying the Islanders. So I really think it's a two team race just mm-hmm. between the Flyers and the Red Wings.
Okay.
If you want me to put my money on it, Matt, I will go with the Red Wings. But I don't know, man. I think it's going to be quite the race. But I won't lie. The big thing I'm looking at is, are the Leafs going to play the Bruins in the first round? That's the biggest thing right now. And I don't know, but I don't think so.
Who would you, because I know I know you don't mind the Leafs. You'll follow the Leafs. We can talk about them a little bit. Who would you rather, in terms of likelihood of winning that series, who would you rather see them play, the Panthers or Boston?
Bruins. Yeah. me the Bruins. I want to squash. It's so annoying that they, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, they're going to play the Bruins again and lose. It's like, okay, like, can we just, you know what? Can we just get by them to get past that point? That whole idea of, you know, we can't get by the Bruins. Yeah, Leafs can't do this. Leafs can't do that. It's like, I know Austin Matthews scored 60 goals already this year, and where he's not going to get to 70, so everyone's upset. But I really could give less of a shit of how many goals he scores during the regular season. I really, you know what, win your trophies and, you know, get all excited. It's, you know, game time is in the playoffs, and that's where they, you know, don't show up. And I want to see him in the playoffs leading his team. And I thought he did a good job last year of taking that step. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Leafs have a team built to kind of go on a decent playoff run. There's too much.
Well, so that was going to be my follow-up, right? Because I'm with you. I would rather play Boston, but I still don't think they're the favorite against Boston. Like, I still think they'll be the underdog in either of those series, aren't they?
Yeah, I would assume so, because, you know, Boston will be I don't believe the Leafs are going to pass Boston, even though they have a couple games in hand. But, you know, the Bruins are
up there with 101 points. Couple of weeks ago where they played them twice in 1 week and lost both of them. That was your chance to catch up and be right there looking for home ice. You blew both of them, and you're going to start on the road here.
No, so I don't believe that they can make up those 8 points there, even though they have those two games in hand. But I'd rather, for sure, take on the Bruins because, well, the Panthers, that would be a little bit of an exciting matchup. I think that the Panthers are a team that when you have a Kachuk brother on your team, it's already going to be a very interesting matchup. But I just think that that's a good matchup between both teams, that lots of fast hockey. But I think that I'm not sold on the Leafs, especially with the goaltending. I like Joseph Woll. I think he's been like pretty decent when he's came back, but at times it's like, okay, I feel like each goaltender, whether it be Martin Jones, Samsonov, or Woll, at times I'm always like, okay, this is the guy, ride him for a bit, and then it's like, all right, get him out of there, put the other guy in. It's right. Like the three of them have kind of done a good job, and more so between Samsonov and Woll, and I am a Woll guy. I do think he should be their number one goaltender, but you know what they say, if you don't have one, you don't have any. So when they kind of go back and forth with 1A, 1B, which seems to be a trend the Leafs have done the last few years, and it's never really gotten them anywhere. So you think they would learn, but they don't. I'm not sold on the back end. I don't know if they'll get past the Bruins. I kind of want to watch the way the Leafs finish the season. They've been pretty strong lately, minus those games, like you said, against the Bruins. But the last few games they've played, I've been, you know, it's somewhat satisfied with, other than, I guess, the loss to the Devils. But, you know, when you have the 3-0 victory against the Sabres, and they played, I thought, decently against the Caps. I'm curious to see how they do tonight against the Panthers, because that's a big game tonight. But especially when you're kind of foreshadowing that, but the way that the season kind of rounds out, they have another game against, you know, the way they end the season between, you know, a pair of games against the Devils, but then you play the Red Wings, the Panthers, and the Lightning. And if the Lightning are still in a spot where maybe, you know what, something happens where the Devils make things interesting, or, you know what, the Flyers are pretty much
right there. Or maybe Tampa's crept up on you, like maybe if you're Toronto, right? But the Tampa has been hot at times here recently. Maybe they get close enough that that game is going to matter in terms of Toronto falling down into a wild card and Tampa possibly passing them. It is a kind of a tough finish to the schedule for them. But in theory, that should help you gear up, I guess.
Or if it, you know what I mean, it's one of those where I'm excited to see them play down that route, kind of that road, to see what team they are. Are they a team that, you know what, they sit a couple guys, you know what, they don't do much, they're... Yeah. You know, not as there's an interesting dynamic with this team this year where I have not really had a read on, you know, the team chemistry or where they're at. I don't know what it is. It just feels like a bunch of kind of misfits all in one spot. They've added, like, I've been super hard, and you know, all year.
I was just going to ask you, where are you at right now with Bert? Yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, he's doing a good job of making me keep my mouth shut and give him some credit that he has had a hot end of the year, but I don't need to see it happen in the playoffs. Like, a lot of these guys I'm going to be hard on. I'm not going to be hard on them until, you know, either you know, in the Stanley Cup final, raising it over their, you know, heads, and I could say, you know what, they proved me wrong.
Right.
But until then, I'm going to be like, look, you know what, this is a team that I don't think did enough at the deadline. I'm not sold on their back end. I'm not sold with their goaltending.
Yeah.
Forward-wise,
well, that's the thing, right? If you want to compare them to Boston, if that's who they're going to play, yeah, I'll take up the middle. I'll take Austin Matthews over Pavel Zacha. I'll take John Tavares over Charlie Coyle, or whatever that's going to look like. And I understand they have Pasternak and they have Marchand, but on the back end, Bruins all day. Like, their defense is far superior to Toronto's. Their goaltending is superior to Toronto's. So, I don't know. I think Toronto will be the underdog, but if you're going to force me, obviously, to pick my poison, I'll take my shots with Boston.
Yeah. Plus, it's always just, you know what, add to the rivalry. I'm down with it, right? It's something, look at, we're talking about, you know, Leafs versus Bruins, you know, almost a decade ago. Was it 2014? Matt Fratton misses the breakaway. It was
2013.
2013. Yeah. We're just over 10 years from that, and we're still talking about how much the Bruins haunt the Leafs. Well, you know what? Screw the damn Bruins. Like, at Leafs got to get after them. You know, it's one of those things where they're in a spot where, you know, Sheldon Keefe is coaching for his life, I believe. Oh, yeah. I don't understand how he's even made it to this season, but he did. And you know what? I don't like a lot of the moves that they made this year. You know, Giordano at times doesn't look like he's an NHL defenseman anymore.
Yeah.
I was not ever really happy with Tyler Bertuzzi. I don't think he's ever once really fit in on the team. I think he's a guy that can get to the dirty areas, and he'll be a guy that can, you know, be a bigger body in the playoff time. But I don't know.
I'll shut my mouth on him if he does the playoff type things, right? Like last year. Yeah. When Boston lost to Florida in round one, I could be slightly off. I think he had 8 goals in 7 games or something like that. He was very effective in round one, and you expect that he's that type of that type of player. I feel like I might have been exaggerated. Maybe it's 8 points in seven games. Either way, he was very effective against Florida.
Yeah.
And if he does that and they go however deep they're going to go, then I'll go, well, then that was exactly what they said it was, a signing for the playoffs. But he looked brutal for the first half of the season. He has come on.
I didn't say three quarters, man. It was tough. Like, it's been.
But he has come on. He is playing better.
Yeah.
He does look like, you know, he will be useful to them. So
he's going to get to 20 goals. So yeah. It looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where he was
lighting money on fire earlier in the year. Like, in terms of not being able, like, getting the contract he was going to want to get on the open market, he did not play well for long stretches. And so we'll see if he can kind of reestablish that market for himself. I'm with you, though. I'll be surprised if he's back. It doesn't really look like he fits in with the group all that well, so we'll see.
Yeah, and we'll see a lot throughout the playoffs how he gels, but I don't know about you, just watching the games, and, you know, whether it be John Tavares is kind of maybe a step back this year, just hasn't looked like himself, but again, he's been that guy, it feels like every year he kind of maybe takes a half step off, but he's still kind of there, kind of somewhat producing with 20, you know, I think he's got 24 goals this year now.
Something like that.
And the one thing I want to see how he is in the playoffs again, because he's taken a lot of criticism, but you know what, show up in the playoffs and that kind of silences everything, right?
Sure.
Mitch Marner's a guy too, the last few years where he kind of disappears in the playoffs and it's, you know, frustrating. Freaks when you're paying
in the moment, a guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you want to see him take that step. And he's been, you know, dealing with an injury the last little bit here now. So how healthy is he in the playoffs? Is he a guy that can take that next step? You know, Matthews, he's at 60 goals and everyone's excited about him and sure. But, you know, William Nylander's a guy that's been really under the radar with a 40 goal year and a 95 point season.
95 points now. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's almost, he's going to crack 100. He's going to finish likely with more points on the season than Austin Matthews, you know, depending on how that goes.
Yep.
You know, they're both tied for 95 right now. And, you know, it's one thing where you see Marner and he's at 76 points in 62 games. Yeah, it's kind of a down year for him, right? This is a guy that's 90 to 100 point player. And this is something where, okay, sure, I'm going to be hard on you now, but I'm also extremely hard. And I thought the Leafs should have traded him off seasons ago. The fact that they brought him back, it's like, okay, but I think that they just, I don't know. I don't love the way that this roster has been built up right now. Even Max Domi, I feel like they brought him in for his name to put him in, you know, third, fourth line kind of guy. And he's got times looked okay. He's had, I feel like he's a guy that every couple games he has a game where you're like, oh, all right, I'm happy with Max. And then the rest, it's like, oh yeah, Max Domi's on the team. Cool. Like he's been up and down, and, you know, between Nyes, you know, even Robertson, or, you know, I've been a fan of Bobby McCann at times, but I think that this is a team that, you know, Doers, you know, kind of, I don't hate him.
Guy's another
him.
David Kampf.
Exactly.
You mentioned it's, like, Paul Marner is still calling the TCA administration, the TCA executives, pretty pissed at some of your
that's
comments.
That's why he's never been traded, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
he's got too many people. I don't know about you, but it's just my vibe watching the team this year and everything I've seen from them. It just seems like a team filled with good skilled players and you know, good solid players, but a lot of guys that are maybe past their due and a lot of question marks. There's just too many question marks on the back end and in between the pipes. Like I'm really
the
hoping
blue line
that
concerns me a little, right? Simon Benoit has been better than I expected him to be, but that just means he's a good third pair D. It doesn't mean you move him up to the second, but like things like that. I think there's some nice pieces here, and I've been saying it all year. I'm not sure they click together and form the puzzle correct. Now watch this be the year when they look least likely to do something, that they actually get on a run and, you know,
do
make
it
me
then.
Look
let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm
fine.
Down.
I will happily sit here and eat crow if that's what happens. I want to ask you, you know, before we wrap up though, about the Sens, because it's been quiet and maybe it should be, but since the deadline they've actually played pretty well, right? They've picked up some wins, they've beaten some good teams. But I think most Sens fans would say they've seen this movie before, right? Once you're eliminated and the pressure's off, you start playing a little freer. Everybody else is maybe focused on other things and their other, you know, potential playoff races. Maybe you're seeing some more backups, whatever it might be. Ottawa's been racking up some wins here lately, and I don't see many fans falling for it this year in terms of saying, oh, see, look, this is what they're going to be next year. And I think there's a chance Ottawa is better next year. I don't know if it will be significantly better. We'll have to see what happens in the offseason. But are you getting the same vibe as me that despite these couple wins here. And look, the playoffs are out of reach. Everybody knows that. But people don't seem to be buying that false hope that every fan base does buy for a little while. When you're on the come up, you think, okay, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, we finished 28 points out. And last year, we only finished 6 out. And this year, we had some injury problems and the Pinto suspension, and they've kind of gotten hot again lately. So maybe they're better than we think. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing people go, yeah, no, there are big changes that need to be made here. And people don't seem to be buying the same shit they've bought in past years. That like I said, I'm not ripping on Sens fans. Young teams on the come up. It's easy to buy it, right? That in the second half, when you get hot, hey, look at what they might be next year. I'm not seeing that out of Sens fans this year.
Yeah, and I find it hard to believe you could bring me a Sens fan that'll say they're proud of what they've done this year.
Right.
I know so many disappointing, and it is. It's tough to be, you know, this bad this long, right? It's it's hard to kind of have this, you know. I know
ask
you
Buffalo,
can look back
ask
on
Detroit,
something. Yeah, ask Buffalo, ask Detroit. You know, every team, you know, every team deals with injuries, tough time suspensions. I know it's difficult, and you know, Sens have been bad since, you know, the 2017 playoff run that they had. They just, you know, when they went on that Sweden trip the following season, they brought in Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
They've been basically cursed ever since then. And it seems like, you know, there was a lot of hype heading into this year, new ownership and everything. And, you know, Pierre Dorion was brought back, and so was DJ Smith. And as of today, you know what, they're both gone. So
yeah.
Steve Staios is in a new position. They brought in Dave Poulin. So they're starting to surround the organization with good pieces. I was happy they didn't go out. I thought they should have traded maybe a Chychrun or somebody at the deadline, you know, bring in, you know, that ability to maybe grab, you know what, another lottery kind of pick here, do what you can to try and get a, you know, another first pick, you know what, stock up right now, because that it's a team that I feel like is right there. But we've been saying that for a few years now. And especially, like you said, at the end of the year where, okay, Ottawa was good this at the end of the year. You know what? After the deadline, this is one of the, we've heard that of like three or four seasons in a row. Yeah. We've heard about like, all right, these guys are taking the next step. You know, look at Tim Stützle this year where, you know, last year in 78 games, he had 90 points.
Yep.
73 games this year, 69 points.
Right.
Nice. But like, come on. it's just one of those things where it's just things aren't, you know, Brady Tkachuk, 33 goals, but, you know, 65 points. It's one of those things where, you know, they haven't been clicking, whether it be the whole thing in total. But, you know, when last year, you know, Brady Tkachuk had 83 points, this year, 65. It's something where they're just, you know, it seems like a step behind. They're not exactly where they were last year, and I'm not sure if that's because Jacques Martin is in here and he's kind of a placeholder that after DJ Smith was fired, a lot of the guys maybe took it personal. They were upset. They realized they cost
kind of seemed like
his job.
Yeah,
the players loved him. Everybody always talked about how much they loved and they were behind DJ Smith. But again, it's a results based business here, and this guy, like, they've missed the playoffs so many, like, with 6 years in a row now. It's, you're in a spot where it's, you got to move forward, and DJ Smith might have got them up to this point, and Jacques Martin was brought in, and I think some people thought, okay, this is going to get them, you know, they're going to right the ship here, but it kind of feels like his vibes are he's not going to be the head coach next year anyway, so he's kind of just a dude just trying to help out. He was brought in, you know what, midway? It was a couple of games into the year. I don't know when they brought him in. It was
Martin?
It was in November, December kind of thing.
Mid-December,
After, you know, a bad start once again, and, you know, fans calling for DJ Smith, it was kind of like, all right, as soon as he brought in, it was like, coaching advisor. It's like, okay, well, we're not stupid. We know that's, you know, DJ Smith isn't doing well. So he's kind of right there in case something happens. And then it doesn't look like he has much interest in being there next year. So it feels like another kind of reset off season where they're going to be looking for a new head coach. You know, I think that this would have been kind of the time where I would have been okay with a trading of a Jacob Chychrun, because you could have got maybe a first round picks, you know, some high picks there, you know, some prospects to get excited about for next year. They're already going to have a decent kind of pick situation going on here, but, you know, they're kind of a team now, though, that was already struggling with the cap, right, with Shane Pinto.
Yeah.
Before we found out about his gambling, it was like, all right, this is, his gambling suspension. It was, okay, why are they not, okay, we have to trade a Matthew Joseph, or else he won't play. And then there was, okay, is someone getting it traded just so that Shane Pinto could play? Like, they were already in a spot where they were tight with cap. So heading into this offseason, it's kind of like, all right, this is a reset, but it's kind of a retool where, all right, add a couple pieces here and there, you know, have a good draft, you know, bring in the right coach, and let's go. Because this is a team where, if you know, there's so many big Sens fans.
They have to
Ottawa.
Nail that coaching hiring, right? They have to nail it. They can't make another mistake.
this is ownership's job now and their opportunity, and especially for, you know, Ottawa's ownership here, bringing in a Steve Staios, right? This is a guy where he was tied already to the Sens ownership before that. So now it's like, all right, you got your guy. He's now in place. Pierre Dorion's gone. Mm-hmm. You're moving forward. Now once they bring in their coach, it's okay. Now it's, this is your squad. Now there's no more real excuses. It's kind of, all right, let's get going. And it's going to be, all right, well, the new coach and this and that, whatever. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, even a crazy trade to happen where, you know what, maybe they trade a piece of their core.
I think you're going to see that this summer. I don't know if it'll be, you know, when you say core, it kind of depends how many guys you want to lump into that group. I think there will be a big move, a move we don't see coming, you know, of one of their big names. This group has a ton of young talent and has a ton of potential, but so far keeps stumbling, right? They're not getting it done. So something is going to be shaken up, and I won't be surprised if a big piece moves this summer.
No, and I think the one thing, too, is they're a team that has a great kind of foundation, I think, but it just, they're missing that it factor and that one thing, whether it be that head coach that's, all right, we're ready to roll, let's get going, that brings that confidence and that swag to the team, maybe a couple pieces here and there. Their back end at times I think is solid, but then I'm like, okay, I'm questioning a lot of it. And, you know, Thomas Chabot has been one that's, you know, been the whipping boy for a few years now, but it's pretty clear to see that he's just, you know, a guy back there now and not the guy to rely on. And Jake Sanderson has been probably one of the better, you know, spots on the team this year. He's improving each year, and I really love the way he plays the game as a defenseman. I think he's sick. Claude Giroux is a guy where, you know, he's brought in to kind of take this team to the playoffs and get over the hump, and he hasn't been able to do that, so I am rooting for that factor.
It's tough, right? Because like, you look at a guy like that as he's getting up there, he's been better than I would have expected him to be at this age, and you've wasted those 2 years, right? So how long can you keep expecting this out of him? I'm not expecting him to go off a cliff, but, you know, these have been two really productive years for Claude Giroux, and they've amounted to nothing because the team around him hasn't been able to get where they needed to get. And so, you know, how long can you expect him to keep giving you that is an open-ended question. Some guys stay very productive longer than others, and he's at that age where maybe he'll be fine again next year, or maybe he won't. It's a complete question mark. You just have no idea, right? So
yeah, and I think that's the thing, too, for, you know, Sens fans. He was the first real, you know, superstar free agent that came home, right? That's, you know, it's been tough to find that throughout, you know, you go back, it happens to so many teams, right? I want to go home and play here, whether it be, you know, players for the Leafs, Minnesota, we hear Montreal, like, it's the Rangers, you know, so many of these players go back home and want to play for their teams, where it was nice to see Ottawa get one of those superstar players. And, you know, Claude Giroux isn't the superstar he was a few years back, but to get him as a free agent to come home to Ottawa, to have that goal of wanting to bring his veteran leadership, try and guide them to a cup, you know, towards the end of his career, you know, it's such a big deal. And it's, I think that was something where you want to see that happen more often. And it's not something you know, that gets to happen very often, but it's something that it did happen. And it was something exciting to build off. That was the summer of Pierre, where they did so much and they were so pretty excited. Everyone was so excited around the team.
Yep.
And then, like you said, the last 2 years, it's like, okay, well, you didn't do anything and things aren't going well, but you have one more year left. I'm sure that, you know, he's someone that'll be entertained staying in the area if the Sens would like to bring him back.
I don't think he's leaving his career. It's just how long does he stay productive, right? That's the point.
Exactly. And that's the tough spot. So I'm not out on the Sens. I think that they're a team that can make a few moves, get things together, and instantly be a team that's right there fighting for the playoffs. I'm not here to say that they're, you know, going to be a playoff team 100%, but they're a team I think that could be absolutely fighting for a playoff spot, you know, at next year, and should be very much so. And if not already a playoff team next year, because it's a team that in an organization that's just been through so much negativity over the last few years. And anytime it feels like they try and take that one step forward of excitement, it's like, okay, take a couple steps backwards, whether it be, like you said, injuries, random suspensions, firings, scandals with Pierre Dorion making trades. You know, it's there's so much weird stuff that happened this past year when you go back to the loss of a draft pick, and that's what became the demise of Pierre Dorion. It just seems like there's been so much negativity, and every time it's like you want to take that step forward, it's there's something pulling you back. And I feel like now it's just trying to break off, get rid of the Reaper, don't let them hold on to you anymore. Move forward. Let's get this team into the playoffs. I'm curious to see what happens this offseason. But like you said, I think we could see a big trade that can shake up the core, something we're not going to see coming. And I think that we might see some big deals going on, maybe between you know, free agency, or, you know, at maybe
the draft or something.
Trading a draft pick for an NHL body that can come in and help you out day one. That's something I wouldn't be shy, you know, afraid to see either. So I think it's an exciting kind of time for Sens fans. Yeah, you want to get excited about wins after the trade deadline. Well, whatever. Go ahead. Get excited about that. But if you can find me a Sens fan that says, no, man, there's so much excitement to, you know, and so much positivity to take away from this year, you know what? You're just feeding me a bowl of lies. I don't need that bowl of lies. I'm here. I'm a realist. I see what's going on. But again, it's a tough season for the Sens. And, you know, I'm not a Sens fan, but growing up in Ottawa, covering the team for so many years, I know a lot of Sens fans. I know a lot of people that care. This is a real passionate fan base. A lot of people that just want to see this team go well and play well and make the playoffs and get excited and you know what, bring that feel back where you got, you know, red jerseys everywhere, car flag, you know, it feels like that was such a long time ago that the Sens were playing the Penguins and they were a goal away from the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Chris Kunitz, eh? a name that will live in infamy here in Ottawa, no doubt. I think that's about where we'll wrap this one up. We'll remind the good listener what's coming up this week. Rob will be back in here on Wednesday morning. Coming up, you'll also hear from Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet about WrestleMania. You hear the voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, Dan Schulman, on the start that the Blue Jays are off to. So lots of good stuff as always to come on the show. And Bunda, we're going to try and do this in person next week, right? We'll do a big fight show, UFC 300 week. It's a big week in the fight community. We got to do that one in person.
Oh, baby, you know I'm down. You know I'm down. UFC 300, I'm not sure if you caught any of the card on Saturday night. I saw a little bit, but Manon Fiorot getting a win. Looks like she's getting a title shot next, but Erin Blanchfield, younger, you know what? Looks like she just got outskilled by Manon Fiorot, who seems like an absolute force right now. So
she's unreal, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't get to watch too much of the card at all, but I read a little bit and saw it. These are the cards they feed you with. They sprinkle in half decent fights, but they're really not the greatest cards because they know UFC 300 is coming up, so they're saving all their bullets in the chamber to bring on the fight that fans are so excited for that they're never going to be able to handle. Oh yeah, it's Alex Pereira versus what's his nickname? I can't remember it. Jamal Hill. I can't remember his sweet.
I don't know his nickname,
I don't remember this. Either way, it's a fight that we were led to believe it was something else. And oh yeah, have you checked out Roadhouse yet?
No, I haven't actually. Is it out?
It's out. It's on Amazon. I haven't checked it yet either, but I keep getting some negative reviews. Everybody says Conor McGregor's role is good, but you know what? Dana White, I think, makes a slight appearance in it quickly. It might be I'll throw it on while I'm trying to take a nap thing. And if it pulls me in and keeps me from napping and I enjoy it, then you know what? That's my own fault. If it sucks, well, I fell asleep during it. I don't care anyways. But the Conor McGregor stuff, I think he was even putting out a couple weeks ago that he's getting ready to fight, but who knows? No dates, but maybe by next week we will have a date where we'll get a Conor McGregor fight. Either way, when you hear the rumors that he might fight at 185, like, dude, this was a 145-pound champion a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Now he's coming back to fight at 185.
He'll never see that weight again.
So. Oh, my goodness. What are you doing?
We'll wait and see if we get a date for him. But you and I, Bunda, we have a date next week. Talk UFC 300, all kinds of fights, have a pint or two.
Yes, sir.
And we'll do that. I appreciate you stepping in for this one to kick start what is for some people a normal week, for other people a short week. Appreciate you doing that. Appreciate the good listener giving just a little bit of space. Like I said, was doing some traveling, doing some things, so it's been a little bit quiet around here. Not as many shows up over the last week or two, but we'll get back at it here over the next several days. Bunda, thanks so much for doing it, man.
No worries. And before we go, again, therapy session still on. Are you anything else you want to get off your chest before the night's over?
This was good for me, man.
In?
Yeah, no. Okay. The pint was good. The conversation was good. The little vent session on everybody talks about Highway 7 being the nicer drive over 401. And that part is true. It's a little nicer to look at, but it was no picnic on Easter Monday, so that's how that goes sometimes. Month. Yeah, that's how it goes. So that's what
thanks for having me on, though, Maddie. Appreciate it.
Of course, man. Always appreciate when you make the time. And like I said, we'll do this again next week ahead of UFC 300. Stick around. Like I said, Rob's here Wednesday morning. You got Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet and Dan Schulman all still to come this week. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're hearing us right now. You need to make sure you're hearing us there in the future. We're on social media at Talkin Audio. He is on social media at SteveBunda91. That's where we'll wrap this one up. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on Wednesday morning. Yo, care warriors and drinking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of craft beer and sport. Talkin Audio, we hold down the fort. Talkin warriors, we're drinking it down. Raise your voices.